All right, listen real close to this. But woe unto you scribes, and this is Jesus. Jesus is speaking to the church of that day, the religious people, the preachers, the leaders, and the church of that day. Those people, listen now. This is Jesus. Somebody says, Jesus is love. God is love. God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that. When I get there, God's going to put his arms around me. God understands. I want you to listen to it now. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be this way when you meet him at the judgment. He was this way. This was God personified in a human body. This was the great Heavenly Father talking. This is the way the Heavenly Father thinks. This is the way the Heavenly Father speaks. This is the way the Heavenly Father is to every generation. Jesus was the Heavenly Father personified. The fullness of God, the eternal Spirit, was in the Heavenly Father. He said, or in Jesus. He said, this is my Son. This is the tabernacle that I'm pleased to dwell in. All right, now, he says here, the Heavenly Father, here's what he says. But woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gifts that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and of nice and cumming, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city. But upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Bacchus, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, you see, the Lord preached that sermon. The Lord Jesus preached that sermon. They got him so vexed and they got him so tore up until he preached that sermon to them. He got disturbed over it and they got him so upset until not only did he preach to them, but he sat down and plaited himself a whip and went into the church and turned over the money tables, scattered their money everywhere, and drove them out of the temple, saying that my Father's house is a place of prayer, and ye have made it a den of thieves. And then he sat down on the Mount of Olives, and this is what he said to him. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're fixing to go into that very area where Jesus spoke these things, and as far as I know, we'll go over to the Mount of Olives. Usually when we go over there, we go to the Mount of Olives where he sat and said these things to his disciples. He taught them these things right there. We've stood there right at that place there, and we've preached, or we've taught our people right there. Out on the Sea of Galilee, we've taught them. But we've been in these places, and we're planning to go over there. As I said, tomorrow we're going up to preach for the Full Gospel Businessmen in a couple of different places up in Alaska and over to the King Jesus TV station where we was at. We was on there for quite a while. On the radio stations, we're supposed to make a personal appearance, and as far as I know, Dale and him be singing over there. And we're supposed to minister to Church of God over there. And they want us to go into the bush country and preach to the Eskimos back there. So how much of it will get done, I don't know. We are looking forward to going up there. As a matter of fact, at one of the meetings, they said that the Full Gospel Businessman, the international director, is going to be there. They have a big operation all over the world. We preached for them people before, but this is a real chance to really get to them. The international director is supposed to be there. But anyway, we're going to Jerusalem, and we're going to be over there where Jesus preached this sermon. Now, folks, this is some more sermon. Sometimes you think I'm hard, you know, when I say you're going to go to hell for this. You'll go to hell for that, and I repeat it. But see, when these boys go to preach, it's like some of them said, and God will get you for your ungodly deeds and all of your ungodly ways, and down the line, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. I mean, they just keep on repeating it in their sermons. And like Jesus here, he got so upset, he said, you hypocrite, you generation of vipers. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? See, now, we also then hear him after he preached such a hard, strong sermon, and then took the whip and turned over the tables. Then we hear this same Jesus exhorting them as to the end of time and how that so many thousands of them are going to miss it because of this. He's exhorting them concerning the end of the world. And he says here, he says, and many false prophets shall be in the land. And they're going to be false teachers and false prophets, and they're going to mislead you. And when you listen to this, you know, you think about our day. And you say, well, where are the false prophets, Brother Pike? Where are the false prophets? You know, somebody says, I know there's going to be a lot of false prophets, Brother Pike, but I ask you this question. Where is the false prophets? Where are all of these false prophets that's supposed to be in our day? We don't seem to see them. You know where they're at? They're on television. They're in the church or behind the sacred desk. Come on, folks, that's where they're at. It's the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals and the others. That's where they're at. Sure, false teachers, false prophets that's doing their ungodly things. And the Bible said, being ministers of the devil, that they transform their minds into ministers of the word, which is called light. And they go in there and they preach to the people. That's what they do. See, that's where the false prophets are. What we need to do is find out who's preaching the word. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if them's false prophets, I don't know who to believe, somebody says. Well, let me tell you something. If you would get down to business and if you'd get the word of God and you'd start studying the word of God and you'd get concerned, more concerned about your soul and the soul welfare of your little child than you are his education and getting some kind of college degree, or being in some place to make money and get your mind on God instead of on those little old foolish things, knowing that they're going to take that boy and that girl and put them in a box, you know, down at the end of the way, and they're going to join you in the cemetery if Jesus tarries long enough, and you're going to be responsible for the damnation of their soul. Like Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Said, you vipers, you generation of vipers, you hypocrites. See, what is a hypocrite? Somebody that can't get their mind off of those kind of things. People that can't get their mind off of the world and off of education and off of jobs and off of positions and off of social benefits. They are religious proselytes and hypocrites. Jesus said, you preachers make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell than yourself because of these things. Folks, we're not of this world. Though we're in this world and can't help from being in this world because we're born into this world and have to be reborn into the world of God, though we're here through our first birth, we are not of this world. We are people of God. We're not supposed to be feathering our nest, and we're not supposed to be looking for houses and lands and potions and all of these other things. We're supposed to be serving God. We're supposed to be going after God. We're supposed to be looking to God. And we're supposed to be feeding the hungry and helping the needy. We're supposed to be doing something for our fellow man, not looking to ourselves and expecting to set up something in this world for our own self. Whether it be the preacher to set him up a little kingdom or some enterprise, or whether it be something else. We don't need any PTL with some kind of a Disneyland up there to promote the devilish doings of Satan. We've got enough of that in the world today. My wife and I were traveling around the world, going around the different parts of the nation, which we still do, but I mean around the United States. We didn't go out to Hollywood to visit out there. Though I preached in Hollywood, we didn't go out to Hollywood to see the sights out there. I didn't take my children over to these frolics and to the different things of the world. As a matter of fact, a lot of times my children were disturbed, being young, not understanding. They thought, well, other people are going. Daddy, why don't you take me? But I didn't take my children to those things because those things are of the world. And it takes the love of the world for you to go there. You people that are always running up to Six Flags, and I'm speaking locally, around up to Stone Mountain in Six Flags, you're full of the devil. That's why you go up there. You've got the love of the world. That's why you go up there. People that's always running down to the beaches and stripping off their clothes and running up and down the beaches, you're full of the devil and you're full of the love of the world. Or you wouldn't take your clothes off like that. You'd keep decency. You'd live holy. You'd be godly. You'd be holy in your body and spirit. And you people that are always worrying about the things of the world, you've got to have this, and your children's got to have that. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe that you ought to feed your wife and children. I believe that you ought to be manned enough to get out and work. The Bible said a man that won't provide for his own is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But if you've got some kind of companion, that's all you've got to do and that's all she wants you to do, she is a devil. And you're feeding the belly of a devil. So then, if it's right the other way, and the wife wants to do something for God, and the husband is always wanting to be in the things of the world, then you're married to a devil. He's on his belly, he's the old serpent, he's the devil, and he's got the love of the world, and that's why Jesus preached the sermon he preached. That's why God preached like he did. If Jesus could come back to Jerusalem right now, he'd find a bunch of devils over there. Not only of them that's coming in from all over the world, crawling like snakes over the Holy Land, but the Jews, many of the Jews that are over in that land are filled with the devil. See, also a lot of Wall Street Jews, they call them. They're filled with the devil, and if you don't think they're filled with the devil, you cross some of them. You say, well, Brother Pike, they're God's chosen people and he's going to take them to heaven. He's going to take them to heaven, all right. And it's true that he's got some sanctified Jews, just like he's got some sanctified people that are in the Gentile world. It's true that God is going to do that. It's true that God has got some like that. But folks, on the other hand, those Jews aren't going to, they're not going to get to heaven any more than you're going to get to heaven until they're born again. If you don't believe that, you read it over in the Bible, over in the book of Revelation. They're going to receive the Spirit of God and they're going to be born again, and they're going to have to go the same way that you're going. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, they're Jews. The Bible said there is no such thing as a Jew. Paul said there's no such thing as a Jew except he that is born again. Inwardly a Jew, he is a Jew. The others are just people like you are. And the Bible said God is no respect of person. Every one of you, Peter was a Jew, as you call him. He stood in repentance and said to those that were without, repent, every one of you. He was talking to the Jews. Every one of you Jews, repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name, you Jews. If you want to look at it as a Jew. Not only that, but you Gentiles, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. So I command you to do it. It's not an invitation. You either do it or you go to hell, Peter said. Choose whichever one you want to. Somebody said, well, some wants to be Methodist, some wants to be Baptist. Jesus said to you Baptists, he said to you Methodists, he said to you Pentecostals, he said to you Bethlehemites, he said to you Branhamites, he said to all of them, Pikeites or whoever you are. He said, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, go on to live holy, to be holy in body and spirit, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just come into the church and like somebody that sits down on a stump over here and quit growing and decide you're going to take care of your little family, that you're all right and you're on your way to heaven. While we were up there in Jeffersonville, Indiana, I noticed some of them that said they were Brother Branham followers, that it was filled with the devil. I mean, I saw them strip the clothes off, run around in shorts, naked, and doing the things they were doing. You say, them was Brother Branham followers. Them was the devil's followers. I said, they're the devil's followers. Had nothing to do with William Branham. William Branham was a God man and a holy man. John Wesley was a God man and a holy man. These Westlands and Eastons and whatever you call them. Them that don't live right is a bunch of devils. They're not John Wesley's followers. Those people live godly. Those people went the best way that they know how into the things of God. And many things they did not understand, that God in the day of the judgment will not require them, but he's going to require Brother Pike and Brother Pike's followers. And Brother Branham's followers and others. 21 years on this side of Brother Branham's death. And here we are. Can we go? Can we do any different from the holy, godly men of old? Can we? Can Brother Pike do any different from the holy, godly men of old? The Bible said, and these were holy apostles and holy prophets and holy men, the Bible said. God men, holy men. Somebody said, well, I preach and I believe I'm a holy man. I belong to the Pentecost or I belong to Bethlehem. That ain't got nothing to do with holiness. You're holy if you belong to God. Men like Martin Luther that pulled out and started the whole Reformation. A Catholic, mind you. A Catholic. Somebody said, them old bunch of Catholics, I wouldn't even go into their church. What are you doing following a Catholic? He was the one that started this thing that you call Protestantism. What are you doing following it? See what it is? You're going to wind up with the old whore. You're going to wind up the bastard children. And the Bible said, I'm going to take her children, I'm going to make a bed of adultery and cast her into it, and I'm going to burn her children with fire. That's what he's doing, folks. That's your ball game churches and your pool table churches. That's your television churches and all of this stuff that's non-virtuous. God has made it a bed of adultery. And in the book of Revelation, it said all of the good things have been taken out of her. And she is now a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That means she's a cage of devils and demons, not children of God. See, that's why they want the pool tables. That's why they want the volleyballs, and that's why they want the basketball, and that's why they've got their basketball teams and run around in short, and their physical ed and their PT and all this kind of stuff. It's called their devils and their demons, and they're all getting together in the cage that they call the church. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, so then what is God saying? God is saying, Preacher Pike, get your life straightened up and move the crooked things out of your life and walk straight. Somebody says a cult. You hypocrite. There's no cult about it except you. You're the hypocrite and you've got the cult. Let me tell you something. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Church of Christ as they call it, and all of those other churches are nothing but cults. All of them are cults. And they're filled with devils and demons. There's only one thing that's right, and that's not the Baptist, and that's not the Pentecostal. That's not the shouting and the hollering. It's not any of those things that are out there in the denominational world or the non-denominational world. It is people who are Christians. There's one kind of people that is a Christian. God accepts a Christian. You hypocrites that you're at Bethlehem that can't even hold up your head and look at the preacher when you're sitting in the church because you're such a hypocrite and you've got such a mind that's cluttered up and messed up. And some of you that will sit and go to sleep on the bench. Hypocrites. Jesus said a generation of vipers. That's why he turned over the table. That's why he popped the whip. That was in the synagogues. The place of Moses, that's where it was at. He does the same thing at Bethlehem. So then, what are those people? They're devils and demons. They're hypocrites. They're a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know, if they wasn't, you know what they'd do? They'd repent, every one of them. And they'd be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And the reason they don't is because they're devils and demons and hypocrites. Somebody said, my God, Brother Pike, isn't it wonderful to know the truth? The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody said, but I thought all of them was my brothers and sisters. They are if you are a devil and a hypocrite. You're part of them. Well, let me tell you, if you're with the Lord Jesus, it's just like Jesus said, woe unto you Pharisees and scribes. Woe unto you, whether you be Jews or whatever you are, woe unto you Bethlehemites. Woe unto you Baptists. Woe unto you Methodists. He said, you hypocrites. That's what you are. You are religious hypocrites. Folks, when you get born again, you know what you do? You might be a babe. You might stumble. You might stagger. But you start growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't sit around as some man and lust after some woman all the time and have your mind filled with the garbage of the lust of her flesh. Her rotten, dirty, evil, shrinking flesh. Paul called it corruptible flesh. Her dirty, filthy, stinking flesh. You don't do that. And a woman don't sit around and lust after some man like I see some of you do here. And like I see some of them do out there in the world. And in the churches. And I pick it up many times in many people. Just in the congregation. You don't do that. That's why the devils and demons jumped up. And that's why they stoned Stephen to death. Stephen said, you stiff neck, you uncircumcised in heart. He said, you do always err even as your father does so to you. He said, you do the same thing. Jesus said, you say you didn't kill the prophets. He said, you're the children that polishes the sepulchres. You're the ones that do it. You bunch of hypocrites, he said. I don't know of anything that's more repulsive to me than a hypocrite. You can preach to one tonight. You can preach all you want to. They'll walk out your assembly and they'll say, bless God, I ain't going back over there. You know why? Because they are a devil and a hypocrite. They'll go back to their mucky way of life, back to the old TV, and sit under the dirty, filthy things, and their husband ain't got enough backbone to stand up for God. He said, Brother Pike, what in the world are you doing? I'm saying that God is bringing an end to the Gentile world. It's the end of the Gentile world. They're a bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of religious hypocrites. The whole Gentile world is a bunch of religious hypocrites. You know, God didn't say nothing to them when they had their ball games and when they went out there and fought and they drank their beer and they cursed and they snorted and they had their square dances and they'd done all the things they'd done out there in the world. God didn't say nothing to them. because they were sinners. They didn't know. God said, it's not my will that the wicked should perish. All should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And God didn't say anything to them. But when they turned into a bunch of religious hypocrites and started infiltrating the church and started bringing everything in the church and getting into the church and trying to bring those things to the church, and God got upset. And God's still upset. And God said, you hypocrites, said, beware you that forget God. I'm going to tear you into pieces. And brother, he's doing it. He's doing it like that wreck that David saw. The 8 people. Those men pinned in there. I don't know. Maybe it was some good folks. I know the little children were fine little fellas, as far as I know. They couldn't have been sinners. They were little folks. And the man following the tractor said, I saw this. I saw them children go clear up out of the pickup truck. Clear over the trailer. And land on the blacktop. And yet they were unharmed. The angel of God. See, I'm not saying the others wasn't right. But it was a strange person as to the husband. The husband wasn't in there with the mother. It was somebody else. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not their judge. But I am one thing. I'm a preacher. And I got a right to judge a situation. I got a right to judge anything. Judgment's at the house of God. To remit sin or to retain sins, the Bible said, to bless or to curse. God's revenge is set there to bring judgment upon them that do evil. But at the same time, Paul said, we don't try to use these things because we want to use the love of God. But see, the love of God says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. See, what is the love of God? If a snake comes into your home, what is the love to your family? To take his head off and to bruise his hoary head. That is the love. Love is not to let a snake run around in your house and bite your little children and say, well, I believe in love. I don't want to hurt him. See, God's got a bunch of snakes in the land. He said, you vipers, you generation of vipers. A whole generation, he said, a generation of vipers. John said, who hath warned you to get religious? To make you so religious or to flee from the wrath of God? Who told you to get out of the way of the wrath of God? He said, you better bring forth some fruits and show something. The child is known by his doings. What do you need to do? Somebody said, well, you need to ease along, Brother Pike. Them people don't know. Let me tell you something. 1,000 years ago, they might have not understood too well. And then I doubt that. The dark age come because they wouldn't listen to God because they had the truth to start with. But acknowledging the fact that things did fall into the dark age and the devil took advantage. I acknowledge that in the kingdom of God that come in the days of Jesus it suffered violence. I acknowledge that. See, but folks, the Bible said in the end time there shall be light. We've got the word of God being preached all over the world. And they talk about religion on televisions and newspapers and everything else. And then for us to stand and say, we don't know and we don't understand, we're a bunch of liars, just as sure as you live if we do it. A bunch of liars, like Paul said concerning some of them. He said, I faced some of them and one told me that they was a bunch of slow bellies. He said, that report's true. He said, they're slow bellies. I don't know what a slow belly is, but he knows. Or he wouldn't have said it. So then they're a bunch of slow bellies, Paul said. Jesus said, hypocrites, a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. All of these religious cults and the land. And let God bring up something that's godly and holy and right and pure. And wants to be clean and comes from the word of God. And a bunch of devils get together and they want to squeeze the life out of it. You know why they do it? Because they're devils and demons, lying, conniving hypocrites that rob and steal and tear down every decency and every moral there is. Hundreds and thousands of churches in the land and in the world. You know what they do? They tell you it's all right, you know. If you want to go naked, you've got your own sovereignty. That's all right. Just don't bother your neighbor. If he wants to drink and get drunk, don't bother him. I'm telling you, you'll go to hell for that. You'll go to hell for that. The devil fights everywhere, especially the truth. We just got back a Telugu translation from India, costing us so much to send the translations from here over there in print. So in numbers of countries or wherever we can, we have it printed over there and send the money there and pay for it, and they distribute thousands and hundreds of thousands to people wherever we can have it printed or get it to them. Now, in doing that over there, you think the devil leaves us alone? No. No, he doesn't leave us alone. We get the Telugu language back today. I look at it. It's a beautiful translation. And what did they do? Up at the top, they had to put their little bit in. And so they put a cross up here, and they put Jesus on the cross naked. Somebody says, Brother Pye, does that bother you, the precious Savior, naked? It would have bothered him because he didn't want to be naked. He put them on clothes in the garden, and he'd want to wear clothes himself. The Bible said his robe was down to his feet when he was resurrected from the dead. See, but to spread that thing, to do anything to interfere with what we're doing, to bring nudeness and in big letters on the back, written by Brother Pike. You know, big letters written by Brother Pike. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, what do you think about that? I think that the man that did it and those that did it over there, not the printers, but those that did it over there meant well. Some of them meant well, but I think down at the printers, they inserted their own little thing. I've seen them do it. And the devil did that to disgrace me and to tear me down and to put out thousands and hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature over that, that when Brother Pike goes back over there to preach, they say, well, there's one thing about Brother Pike. Let the crowds flock out, because Brother Pike, he don't care. You can go naked or whatever as long as you just go with Brother Pike. And Brother Pike don't feel that way. I stayed away from that in this country to keep thousands from following me, because I don't believe in that. You need to wear clothes. You ladies need to dress decent. You need to dress in some clothes that's not so form-fitting. You men need to stop running around in your tight jeans and look like you melted and poured in them. You need to learn to be a gentleman. And the woman needs to learn to be a lady. She don't need to go around giggling all the time and bold-faced, right in the face of men all the time. She needs to be shame-faced. And the man needs to be grave. He don't need to be a giggler. The Bible said for him to be grave when he approaches the women. He isn't supposed to be smiley all the time. You can be pleasant, but you're committing adultery. You're committing harlotry. You're meeting face to face, and your spirits are filthy and dirty. They're stooped in iniquity. You've got to hold that old body. You've got to hold that mind of yours. You've got to hold that spirit of yours. You've got to use some kind of discretion. You men that walk around here like you think every woman's looking at you and she can't stand it when you go by, you devil, you hypocrite, full of corruption, the way you walk and the way you think, I pick up your spirits. You are a devil incarnate. And you women do the same thing. Walk around with your lofty way, throwing your hair around, you know, and with your evil, dirty little ways. And the Bible said, mincing with your feet as you go and trying to take men with the flashing of your eyelids. The Bible says this. See, dirty, filthy, you are scummy. You're covered with devils and demons and filth. You're in corruption. You married women. You married women. Somebody said, where's the congregation? Could you hear you? I like for them to know. I like for the people to know. I said, they do know. They know exactly how I feel. That's the way I feel, because that's the way it is. That's exactly like it is. When a woman will give any kind of feeling from herself to a man, she is a whore. And when a man will give any kind of feeling from himself to a woman, he is a whoremonger. And you go to hell for that. God will put you in hell. He said, women, be shamefaced. He said, men, be grave. When you meet a woman, when you meet a man, I don't care who it is, not just Brother Pike. Some of you hypocrites, you meet Brother Pike and you go around the corner this way and you're just as grave as you can be. And when you get around the corner over here, you're just full of giggles. You talk to me so religious. When you get on the job out there, you laugh and talk about all kind of filth, all kind of jokes. You make jokes out of people. I told some people the other day, I said, I think it's a dirty thing. You make jokes out of folks. I said, and then when the folks come around, I feel the devil between you and them. And yet you make a joke out of the people. I think that's dirty and filthy. Jesus said, you hypocrites, twofold more the child of hell than you are yourself. You know what it is? It's the end of the world. God is tired of the Baptists, and God is tired of the Methodists, and God is tired of the Pentecostals, God is tired of the Presbyterians. He said to the Jews, he said, I'm tired of your solemn assemblies. He said, you have your feast and your solemn assemblies. He said, away with it, I'm sick of it, he said. He told them when they were fasting, he said, when you fast to smite with the fist of wickedness. He said, when you pray for the wrong thing. He said, you don't pray to make your voice to be heard on high. And you don't fast to get the attention of God. You don't sacrifice to where you can get holy and conform to the things of God. He said, you hypocrites. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. God said that. Folks, if God said that, there must be some hypocrites in the world. I don't think he would have said that if there hadn't been some hypocrites. Somebody said, whoa, what is he talking about? Who is he talking to, Brother Pike? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. If you are a hypocrite, then you're a hypocrite. If you're in Brother Pike's church, you are a hypocrite. If Brother Pike is a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite. It doesn't matter what you call him. If I'm a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite. If Jesus said I'm a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite. If I'm a son of God, I'm a son of God. If you are a hypocrite, you can go to Bethlehem all you want to, but you're still a hypocrite. And I think one of the biggest kind because of what we preach. I preach godliness and holiness, and anybody that would come in and out here and hear the word of God and get the wonderful things of God and the things that we preach and go back out in the world, you must be dirty and filthy and in the scummy places of the world. Like I was telling a man today, some woman has wrote him from somewhere and she wants to do something for him. I said, man, I wouldn't touch it with a 100-foot pole. When the woman was here, I saw her. She feels she is a woman that is contrary to God, got the devil with her, and she's after that man's soul, and the Bible said, and the adulteress shall seek for the precious soul. She's after that man's soul, and there's another woman that comes here is after the same man, and she is after his soul, and if he don't wake up and get some sense and stay away from both of them, he's going to go to hell, and they're going to go to hell with him. When I'm sitting in here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I said, don't talk like that, Brother Pike. You won't have too many in your congregation. And they won't give you an offering. Let me tell you something, folks. And you understand this. These men running around pulling $50 million and $100 million. You know what that is? That's that old Saul spirit. Saul went out there and he got all the cattle. He said, I'm going to get all the cattle. When I come, I'm going to give a big sacrifice. You know, I'm just going to have thousands of cattle and I'll be a great king. God said, leave that stuff alone. It's cursed. It's cursed. The Bible said the offering of the wicked is an abomination in God's sight. Give me the hundreds of millions, somebody said. You know, give me all of this stuff. You don't care. You don't care whether it's the horse racer or whether it's the beer maker. You know, as long as you get the money. See, you want to be big in the eyes of the public. A big evangelist. A big outstanding person. But folks, let me tell you something. Your evil connivings, your corrupt mind, your offerings unto God is filthy in His sight when it is wicked. There's a difference between an unrighteous man and a wicked man. But the wicked, even their offering, is an abomination in the sight of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what if a wicked man come tonight and give you $100 million? Let me let you in on something. The wicked man can't come tonight and give me $100 million. So that settles that. You don't have to worry about what if he did. I don't deal with the wicked in millions or hundreds of millions or in dollars either. I'm sure that there's things that come in through the offering into the offering that goes into something, I don't handle it. I don't mess with it. I'm sure that it comes in, and I'm sure that some of the people are not right that give it. I realize that. Not too many wicked men give to this anyway. The Bible said the wicked can't even sit in this congregation. That is, in the congregation of the righteous. But the thing is, they're not going to support this. The devil ain't going to support nothing that's tearing his kingdom down. Jesus said his kingdom be divided. He ain't going to do it. He's going to support them religious proselytes out yonder that's telling the people they can go half nude and telling the people that they can be gullible and telling the people they can swallow up the things of the world and telling the people they can lie and cheat and swindle, backbite, lust, all these other evil, devilish things. Like Jim Baker, the charge he's got against him as to the defilement of his body and of another woman. But what did the following say? We say, forgive him, they said. He's still our leader, they said. Sure, why not? Because they're in the same mess he's in. That's why. That's why they followed him to start with. They were in the same mess. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. Ain't nobody going to walk with me unless they agreed with me. That's why I preach like I do. I don't want them walking with me. I don't want them walking with me. Unless they agree with holiness and godliness and virtue and purity, they'll be a devil and they'll be a snare to me and they'll be a stumbling block. And the Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. So I don't spare any of them. Jesus said, woe unto you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. Generation of vipers. Stephen said, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. These things Jesus said to the people. So then, tonight, what should we do? Realize that the false prophets are in the churches. And it's false doctrine. You remember this. It doesn't matter to Brother Pike whether Brother Swaggart preaches it, Brother Roberts preaches it, or Brother Pike preaches it, or Brother Branham preached it, or Brother whoever you want to. If you don't preach repentance in Jesus' name and baptism in Jesus' name, and I mean by water, then that means that you're not preaching the gospel. And you're not preaching the truth. And it means that you're going to die and go to hell because you are misleading people. And when you stand off in the corners, I see so many people do in their little withdrawn way, trying to justify somebody in a ball game over here and somebody in their self way of life over here and making allowance and saying, well, you know, now you do this and you do that, but he don't know and she don't know. And we got to be careful. That is of the devil, and that person that does it is of the devil, and that person that does it needs to be born again just like the other one needs to be born again because both of them are on their way to hell. So when you sit off over here and you make allowance for your mother and you make allowance for your father and you make allowance for your brother and you make allowance for your sister and you make allowance for your neighbor and you make allowance for your son and you make allowance for your daughter, you are condoning the works of the devil and you are guilty of transgression and conspiracy against God and you'll come into the high courts of God and you will burn in hell for that. God will put you in hell for that. I said, God will put you in hell for that. Somebody said, that little old thing, God will put you in hell for that. Because you're just as dirty and filthy as you can be. That's why you're alive for it. You walk with it because you are of it. All right, stand with me, folks. This may sound a little strong. Sometimes it does. I was riding in a car over in another state. Some man was playing a tape, and I said, who in the world is that? And he looked at me kind of funny, because I didn't know who it was. He said, that's you? It was called Clearing the Books, and it just sounded a little strong. But the thing is, folks, all I've said is not near as strong as what Jesus said. Not near as strong as what John said. I've only repeated to you what he said, but I have told you this. The things that you're doing, you're going to go to hell for it. You are a religious hypocrite. You're not living for God. A person that's living for God is a Christian. They need to forget about this thing of Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and whatever. They are a Christian. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like. If you are Christ-like, you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you don't have to worry about belonging to no kind of church. You belong to His church, the ground and pillar of the truth. And folks, if you are not a Christian, that means you're not Christ-like. And if you're not Christ-like, then you are certainly not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you're on your way to hell. I don't care what church you belong to. I don't care whether you're a preacher or whether you're a laity. It doesn't matter whether you've been in the gospel 10 years or 50 years, as you call it. You're on your way to hell. And a man that won't pull the line in his home and hold that line to holiness and godliness, that man is of the devil. I don't care how religious he is, he's of the devil. And he and his whole family will go to hell. Let's sing a little chorus together. The days of the Gentiles are finished. They are a bunch of religious hypocrites. When they were cold and they were out in the world, God bore with them. And them that have repented of their sins to come to Jesus to do His will, He hath blessed them. For He said, I would that you were hot or cold. That is, that you didn't know nothing about God, or that since you do know, that you would serve Me with your heart. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is what the Lord said. See, this is what He wants. But you that are in between, He said, I'm going to spew you out of My mouth, your vomit. All of My tables are filled with vomit. That is where He spewed them out of His mouth. Religious hypocrites. He said, you stand at the door and you won't live right. You won't be straight. You won't walk right. You won't be an example. You won't go in. And said, all the rest of them that's coming, you hinder. It's like my wife. I was talking to the other day. I said to her, I said, Betty, these people that send in requests, I want to pray for them. And I do try to pray for them. Like I said, before the living God, it was 5 o'clock this morning, as far as I know, when I got in bed. I'd have been on my knees all night trying to talk to God about the people. But I said, Betty, there ain't no need of them sending requests in to me to ask me to pray for them when they know they're going to live like the devil and they're as wicked as they can be. I said, it don't make no difference how much I pray. It ain't going to do no good. I might pray and God might give them another chance. But if they're going to be wicked, they're going to be slaughtered, they're going to go to hell, and there ain't nothing that Brother Pike or no other preacher can do about it. You run off from this church or any godly church where a man is preaching the gospel of Christ and you go to another church and that man receives you in there, he is a devil. When I disfellowship you here, the brother across the hill and over in the next state better disfellowship you too. The Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly. And if one be a fornicator or one be a liar and a cheat and do these things, knowing that he is supposed to be a brother, the Bible said, don't so much as eat with that man. Somebody said, that dear brother, I got to go out there and be kind to him. I got to win him. I got to get him. The Bible said, don't you so much as eat with him. Now, Paul said, if it's a sinner, if it's somebody in the world, if it's a fornicator, a liar, whatever, Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, saying that the sick is the ones that need a physician. He said you could go out there and preach to them, not to be partakers of their ways, stay away from them, so far as partakers of their ways. He said, but if a man be religious, if he be called a brother, that is, said, don't you mess with him. When a fellow starts doing things like that and he's called a brother, said, stay away from him. See, when a preacher puts you out of church, then no other preacher needs to take you in. If you went over there to another church across the hill somewhere, that preacher should get to know you when you come into his congregation. Go right on ministering to you. But when he wants to be a part of the body of Christ and a part of the operation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that preacher should say, who are you? Where are you from? Have you ever known God? Have you been going to church anywhere? And when the man says, yes, over across the hill over there, Then he needs to say, well, why is it you left from over there? Did you get out of work? Did you need another job? Is that why you come over here? Is that the reason? What's the purpose? And when the man tells him, he needs to take the man's word for it. Take his word. Don't question him. Don't try to cast him down. Take his word for it. But at the same time, watch the man. And when he gets a chance, have communication with the brother on the other side of the hill and find out what's going on. And if he isn't straight, he needs to say right straight to him before his face, I'm sorry, brother, we don't have a place for you here. We don't have a place for you here. And the Bible teaches when one does wickedly, that the body of Christ should come together and turn that person over to the devil. I said the church should come together, the preacher, the laity, the brotherhood, all of them, and turn that person over to the devil. The Bible said for the destruction of the flesh. Turn him over to the devil so his soul can go to hell for what he's done. Turn him over to the devil. Not this thing, I say again, where somebody said turn him over to the devil so that his flesh can be destroyed so God can save his spirit. That's foolishness. Turn him over to the devil so God can destroy him, take his soul to hell, and get him out of the midst of you. For the Bible says if one limb remains on the tree and that's rotten, it gives the illustration that the rest of them will rot. Doesn't use that term. But if one bad member is in the church and you leave it there, the whole body will die. And I say again, the Bible said when you turn him over to the devil to get rid of him, then the Bible said when he's turned over to the devil, it is for the destruction of the flesh, that the Spirit of God, which is in the church, may not leave the church. Because if you keep one in there, as it is with the law, to keep the whole law to offend in one point, you're guilty of all. To keep one rotten member in there and to lie for it, the Bible said it contaminates the whole church. One rotten limb will kill the whole tree. So then you've got to get it off. You've got to get it out. It'll bleed the tree to death. See, when one member suffers, they all suffer. And the Bible said, they that be joined to a harlot is a harlot. If there's one member in the church that is in harlotry and the whole church goes along with it, all of them are harlots. So then the Bible said, get him out that the Spirit of God may be saved. That is to save the life of the tree, save the spirit that is in the church, and get rid of that one rotten member and give him to the devil and let the devil take him, because he's already of the devil anyway. All you're doing is keeping him under the blood and keeping a protection there. Like Judas was. Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. And the time came when he gave him up to the devil. And if the Son of God can look at a man like Peter that had the keys to the kingdom later, if he can look at him and a man that had walked with him the way Peter had and say, get behind me, Satan, then that means he's the kind of God that isn't going to put up with foolishness out of Brother Pike or out of you or out of anybody else. All right, let's sing together. These things I say to you because they're true. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. forevermore. Sing it with me again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing that with me again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Folks, we're talking about what it takes to get you to heaven. We're talking about a real, genuine Christian. It's like I sang that song the other night at the high school auditorium there over in Jeff. When I sing it like this, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And we sing it like this. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Can we sing that? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. It's good. Sing it again. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Hallelujah! Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Hallelujah. It's good. Sing it again. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Now somebody might say, Brother Pike, what is Peter and Paul religion? Well, Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, and as many as be afar off, even them Bethlehemites, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Include the Bethlehemites in it, though the Bible don't say Bethlehemites. So then that's Peter's religion. Paul's religion is in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where he said, how was you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. He said, you need to be baptized over. Though the Bible don't say it exactly like that, the Bible said, and he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. Peter and Paul religion. Let's sing that again. Oh, give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. It's good enough for me. Now let me ask you a question. I've got Peter and Paul religion. Whose religion you got? What kind of religion you got? Peter and Paul preached Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, that we should be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. That's Peter and Paul religion. Now, what kind of religion have you got? Oh, somebody says, I got the same kind. Praise God. I'm glad you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. I believe that you have, but I know for sure there's some of you sitting here that hasn't. And what you need to do is get exactly what we're saying. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. Give me that Peter and Paul religion. It's sing it one more time. Want that old time religion. I want that old time religion. I want that old time religion. You know, this book is that old time religion, you know? This started many, many years ago when the Bible said, and this book was written by men that were filled with the Holy Ghost and moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the old time religion. This is the Peter and Paul religion. The Bible teaches that as the gospel was committed unto Peter to the Jews, then God committed the gospel unto Paul for the Gentiles. So he's our overseer. Isn't that right? Peter was their overseer. They don't know it, but one of these days, the Jews is going to have to get baptized in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? And Paul was the Gentiles' overseer. How do you like him being your overseer? How do you like it good enough to do what he told you to do? Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody said, well, I hadn't done that. That means he isn't your overseer. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Not for me, it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And sing it with me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I wonder how many of you are going to pray for us while we're over in Alaska, preaching the old-time religion. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you won't do that to the full gospel businessman. I remember out in Anaheim, California, where Disneyland is, I preached the sermon and I said, what must I preach, Lord? And he said, preach the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And I preached to the full gospel businessmen, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And I told the ones of the chapter they had to be baptized in Jesus' name. And when I finished, they was down on their face crying and weeping and bawling like little children. You know why? It was the old-time religion. Let's sing it one more time. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I don't have but one sermon, and that's the old-time religion. It's either holiness or it's hell. You're either going to live a holy life or you're going to go to hell. Mr. Baptist and Mr. Pentecost and whoever you are going to burn in hell if you don't get holy. And I mean in body and spirit. And if you don't get straightened out with your dressing and dress holy and talk holy and walk holy and be holy and let your conversation be in heaven and let it be holy and get away from the non-virtuous things of the world, those evil devilish things out there, get away from them. And the Bible said, if anything have virtue in him, anything be lovely, anything be pure, think on these things. And if you don't get away from them, you're going to burn in hell. God's going to put you in a lake of fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's the way it is. Somebody says, well, I can shake it off. Shake it off. Go ahead and shake it off. Hallelujah. A lot of people rocking and rolling shook it off, and they're in hell tonight. They're in hell tonight. Go ahead, shake it off. Shake little Bethlehem off. Shake the preacher off. Shake what he's preaching off. They may attend your funeral within a few days. Shake it off. Go ahead and shake it off. The Bible said to give the more earnest heed to it, the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear it, incorporate it in your life. Lady, listen, and gentlemen, you listen too. Don't either one of you try to make a proselyte out of your wife or out of your husband. Let him live for God. Let him go on and do something for God. Let him be for God. You get in there and live for God with him and stop that foolishness of wanting to be a religious hypocrite, lukewarm, for God to spew you out of his mouth. Get out of the doorway. If you don't want to be a Christian, get away from it. Stay away from it. Go out there and live for the devil and enjoy sin for a season, because you belong to him and you're going to go to hell. He'll be cast into the lake of fire and you're going to be cast in there with him. But if you want to live for God and you want to be holy, get in there. Encourage your companion to be holy and godly. Either way, man or woman, be partakers together of this wonderful grace of God. And if you got time, come over and help me at Bethlehem. If you don't have anything else to do, come over and help me at Bethlehem. Join in with me at Bethlehem and help me carry the gospel. Tell your neighbor, live a holy life. Be godly. Dress holy. Live holy. Be what you ought to be. Folks, everything will be well with you. But I tell you something, when you come to Bethlehem, or when you go to a church somewhere, or you hear the gospel, the true gospel, when you hear it, you're chargeable from then on. And from that very day, the sword won't never depart from your house unless you straighten it up. Set your house in order. Brother Pike, don't mean to talk strong to you, and I'm just not speaking to you, but God has let me know that the Gentile world is gone. And he wants them to know that they are a religious bunch of hypocrites and proselytes. And he wants these things to go out to them, that they can be said, so that they can know that God's through with them and God's fixing together his little group up. And that doesn't mean that we don't have some at Bethlehem. We've got some at Bethlehem that are hypocrites. Brethren, let me tell you something. When I look out there and I see you tonight, and I see your faces as men and your faces as women, and I think of you like this. I think, Lord, can't you save all of them? Lord, do you have to let any of them go to hell? Lord, this is my flock. These are my people. These are the ones I preach to. God, can't you save every one of them? Because I look at you like this, you know. I got David, I got Dale, I got Cynthia, and on, I got children. And then I say, well, which one do I want to go to hell? Which one of them do I want to go to hell? I don't want neither one of them. I said, well, Lord, is there one of my children? After all, you give me eight, you know, I could give you a couple of them, let them go to hell. But I don't feel that way, folks. Every one of them is special to me. To God, it's the same way. Not his will that even the wicked should perish, but should come to repentance and ever have everlasting life. But it's God's will for the preacher to preach the holiness that he tells him to preach, and to preach the godliness that he tells him to preach, and to preach the gospel that he put in his heart. To speak the words of God the way that God has sent him to speak the words of God. To do it without respect of person. It is God's desire for him to do that. But when I look at you, I think, dear God, I don't know which one of them I want to go to hell. I don't know if any of them I want to go to hell. I love you. I love you. I see Steve standing there and I think, Lord, I don't want Steve to go to hell. Steve, say, well, Steve, well, he's just one person. You got a whole bunch of them left like bananas, Brother Pike. Some here and some there and some over yonder. See, but that don't take the place of Steve. I think, well, I love Steve. Steve's got his own characteristics. He's got his own life. If Steve was dead, never again would I see those characteristics. Never again would I see Steve. So I think, I don't want that. I don't want that. I think of Brother Gerald Williams that comes to church. I was telling somebody yesterday, I believe, I said, I love Gerald. I think Gerald's a fine person. He think, well, couldn't Gerald go? You know, you got a lot of them left. Then I think, but if Gerald went, there'd be no more Gerald. See, that's the way God feels.
You know, your children, your grandchildren. I say, Junior, well, I got some more. Junior could go. Then I'd say, no, that can't be. I've been on my knees numbers of nights praying for Tony. See Tony back there and Tony's wife here. See, and I think, well, Tony, and I think, no, Tony couldn't go either. So I pray and I say, oh God, don't let Tony go to hell. Don't let Junior go to hell. I said that many a night. Somebody, the devil will answer back, he'll say, well, he's going anyway. He's going anyway. You know, this one over here, he's in the snare and he's doing this and he's in this. I said, no. No, I'm going to pray. You know, I say this to you, and maybe you understand it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've done the same thing. I trust that you have. I'm sure some of you must have. But a number of years ago, I said, God, I'm going to give my life to you. And I'm going to give my life to my children, to my wife, to my loved ones, to my brothers, to my sisters. I'm going to give my life to the people. And I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, to please don't let them go to hell. Please don't let them go to hell. And I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to do everything I can to get the printed page out. I'm going to send out a tract. I'm going to get, Lord, give me the heathens for my inheritance. The Bible said, if you ask of me the heathens, I'll give them to you for your inheritance. And I say, Lord, give me the heathens for my inheritance. Without respect to person, give me the heathens for my inheritance. So I'm going to get in somebody's language. I'm going to get in the Indian language. And I'm going to get in this language and that language. And I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm going to get around the world. And sure enough, we get letters out of just about all of the islands. St. Vincent. We get it out of Dominican Republic. Jamaica. Everywhere. I mean so many, many of them. See, because I asked God for the heathens for an inheritance. We're in numbers of languages. And I pray, Lord, don't let them go to hell. Father, don't let the people in Africa go to hell. Somebody said, man, why bother yourself about all them African folks over there? Why don't you eat, drink, and be merry? You've got enough to do on this side. Like a man told me not too long ago, he come down from one of the leading churches over in Tennessee. I was fasting, been on a fast for a number of days. And he said, I ain't ever done that but as few times in my life. He didn't understand why I was fasting. Got a big old church, a big congregation, preaches under a tent, draws thousands of people. And he said, man, why you want to go? Where are you going? I said, I'm going over here to preach to them people. He said, man, you need to stay around here and preach these people around here. You don't need to be going over there. I said, we got people around here that need to be preached to. But that isn't the way it is, people. The Lord said for you, as well as Brother Pike, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why tomorrow I'm going to Alaska. I preach to them people on television. I preach to them on radio. I've got some literature in there to them. You know, I've witnessed to some of them, but I need to go in there and preach the gospel to them. And I felt that God would be sending me back up there. Now, here He is sending me back up there to preach the gospel to them. Some of you are going. I think some of you are going. Maybe Brother Lambert and some of them. See, you're going. Some of the rest of you could have went, but you didn't. You didn't make no effort. Why worry about them folks in Alaska? We got people around here. We got to take care of the home front, but you don't take care of the home front. I go off and I come back, and like it was, if you cut the lights off, you don't take care of the home front, do you? No, you don't. You don't have service. You don't witness to anybody. You eat, drink, and you're married. So you could go. You could do something, but you're not going to do it. That's your business. But I thank God that there's some that will. I mentioned that song to Sister Dale and them. No one wants to work in my fields. They want to be around my tables. The songwriter said, but no one wants to work in my fields. He said, I want to work in the fields of God. Don't you want to work in the fields of God? I've been preaching to you a long time, folks. It's time that you preach to somebody. It's time that you told somebody. And Paul said, wherein is when you ought to be teachers, you have need that you be taught, which is the beginning of the oracles of Christ. You need to tell somebody about God. You need to tell your loved ones about God. Haven't you got enough backbone to stand up to your mother and your brother and your sister just because they're religious? You ain't got enough backbone to stand up and tell them the truth about the situation? What kind of person are you? Knowing that they're going to go to hell, knowing that they're in error, knowing that they think they know when they don't know, and you know that. Let's sing this little chorus together. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. I'm not scolding you. I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Things I say, Jesus said, I say to one, I say to all. But at the same time, I'm not saying anything to you to hurt you, to scold you, or to misuse you. But I believe this, folks. I believe it's a dirty, scummy, low-down generation that will crucify Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. And I say that for this reason. I don't think sinners are dirty and scummy and low-down. I really don't. Even though I know they're dirty and scummy so far as being out of the presence of God. But I don't feel that way because they don't know about God. They don't understand God, and they need love. And Jesus loved us, the Bible, so much that while we were yet in our sins, he died for us. And I don't believe Christians are coming low down. I believe they're the cream of the crop, the most precious sons and daughters of God, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. But I believe a religious hypocrite and a religious person that will come in the midst of God's people and be hypocritical and take part and take the benefits of God, I think they're scummy and low down and rotten. That's the way I feel about it. Jesus said, Pharisees, hypocrites, a generation of vipers. That's the way he felt about it. And that's the way I feel. So don't ever be like that. May God help me to never be like that. May God help me to never be religious. Unless I'm going to live for him and do right. My children have almost been lost because of that. I've got children that they've told me. They've looked at the hypocrites and them that stood at the door. Me crying and fasting and praying for them. And I'd say, won't you serve God? And they'd say to me, say, Daddy, you're talking about them folks? You just don't know, Daddy. I done been out there with them. And they didn't know that I did know, but was trying to be loving and kind and showing mercy just like Jesus was to Judas when he was a devil. You know, trying not to pluck up something that was bad, afraid I'd get some wheat. Though I know in the church the Bible said pluck them up and get them out. Be your new lump. Let them grow in the field together. But my children were almost lost, numbers of them. And one day they woke up to the fact that what they were saying was true to some degree, that some of them was hypocrites. But they woke up to the fact that even though they were hypocrites, that they themselves were in the same kind of condition, knowing about God and not going the way of God, and that they were going to be in hell with the hypocrites. And they began to wake up. Oh, folks, listen at me. Listen at me. Please listen to what I'm saying. You don't know the scummy, rotten, dirty things that there is in the church. You don't know. Even at Bethlehem, they come in and out here. You don't know. You don't know the dirty, evil things unless you've got discernment, unless you've been in touch with God. You go into the churches and preach like I do, and you go among the pastors, and you go among the people, and you can't imagine the rot that's in there. This very night in this church, you can't imagine the rot that's been among some of the people that's in this church tonight. I'm talking about the stench and the stink. Still religious, still going on, still going on. They're not going to come and tell you, and they're not going to come and confess it. Some of them has been so dirty and filthy until one of them walked into my house a few days back and was sitting at the table. It was a woman. Walked into the house and started talking to me. And as she began to talk to me, there where my wife wasn't in the house, I said, listen, don't you say them things to me. I said, you don't have no business talking to me like that. I said, if you want to talk, go talk to my wife about them things. I'm talking about dirty, scummy, filthy, waiting grab me or to grab you or anybody else. Some of the men are dirty and filthy and scummy in their minds. And they'd nail one of these women or one of these girls in a minute. Just give them a chance. And they'd be gone with them. That's why men like Jim Baker and others get into the problems they get into. Let's be straight, folks. Let's be godly. We have enough problems as it is. We stumble enough as it is. We make enough mistakes as it is without going around secretly lusting after one another or taking these things in our mind of gossip, backbiting, conniving things, robbing and cheating our brothers. Don't be like the ones I saw the other night and drunk, filthily drunk in my way, trying to tell me what to do when they didn't even have enough sense to direct their own life. I mean, they were drunk. Don't be like that. You say, well, I don't drink, Brother Potter. I know for sure these that I saw, some of them, they didn't drink either. They don't drink. They are among you. They don't drink. But God was showing me they're drunk off the cares of life. Drunk. Let's sing that little song, Jesus Use Me. Don't you want Jesus to use me? I'm not accusing you. I'm not trying to find fault with you. If you are a godly person and a holy person, I have nothing against you. I'm not saying anything to you. I'm not coming against you. Why should I? Why should I condemn you? I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to lead you. I want to help you. But folks, let me tell you, when you play the hypocrite and God reveals it to Brother Pike, I ain't got no respect for you. That's one person I mark off of my list. I don't have no respect. It's like someone was trying to tell me today, with all sincerity and fidelity, they was trying to tell me, well, you got to love folks and you got to help folks. And that's true. I've taught my children that. I like to hear them things coming back at me from my wife or whatever. Like something was said the other day. And my grace, they said, that ain't God. I said, you're exactly right. It sure ain't God. See, but let me tell you, don't be a hypocrite. Them's the kind of people I mark off. But it ain't God. Leave it alone. If you want to live right, live right. I trust that you do live right. I trust that you love the Lord. I know some of you do love the Lord. I believe that. You're shortcoming in what you ought to do for God. But when I point my finger at you, I have to remember, as it has been said, when you do like that, you got numbers of them pointing back at you. Because I'm shortcoming. So you're not going to be lost because you're shortcoming. God is going to impute your trespasses unto you. So you're not going to be lost because you're shortcoming. All of us is shortcoming. But folks, when you are a religious hypocrite, you'll go to hell for that. God will put you in hell for that. All right, let's sing Jesus Use Me.
Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And dear Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross, can you sing it one more time with me? Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you.
I want you to lift your hands up with me now, if you will. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Although the cross be great, I'll work for you. Folks, let me tell you, while you got your hands up, and while your eyes are closed, Jesus loves you. He loves you, though God hates iniquity, though God hates wrong. He loves you. You can't imagine the love that He loves with. When God hates,
He hates with all that he can hate with. David of old was a man after God's own heart. And David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. He hated with all that was within him. I hate evil. He said, with a perfect hatred, I hate it. Because he had been scarred, he'd been hurt, he'd been torn down. The beauty of what God wanted for him, David had suffered and suffered and suffered because of what sin had done. He said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. That's the way God is. He hates evil. But folks, he also loves the same way. He loves with a perfect love. He loves with a perfect love. He loves you. You can't imagine how much he loves you. Find his favor. Seek his favor. He said, well, Brother Pike, I just feel like I ain't strong enough to do it. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Remember, it's by him. It's by his grace. It's his strength. His love. I preached to you so many times the love of God and how that you're free from sin so that you can be strong. But folks, there's times when I need to preach against iniquity. There's times I need to preach against hypocrisy. There's times I need to preach against the way of this world to show you how base, how rotten and evil it really is. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm letting you know so you don't get caught in it. So that you won't be a half-hearted religious person. So that you won't do these things in a half-hearted way. But that you'll really genuinely give your heart and life to God and pull away from the world and the love of the world and the things of the world and really get down the business for God. That's why I'm preaching to you like this. When I hear the telephone ring and I pick up the telephone and somebody is crying and pleading and almost screaming, saying, Brother Pye, I can't stand it. My nerves is going out on me. My mind, he said, almost went crazy. Said, I started swinging around in the cell, just swinging, going, so I couldn't control myself the way he talked to me. And I'd done these things and said, all of a sudden I was going to scream. Said, I was losing it, Brother Pike. Pleaded with him. I talked with him. I begged him. I've asked him. Men and women alike are in that kind of condition tonight. Preaching to them. And I hear them kind of things. And I know it's all because of hypocrisy. Religious proselyting. And people not getting down to business with God. He said, it's so good to hear your voice. It's so good to hear your voice. You know why? It's the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice. He's heard that voice many times say, please don't do that. He's heard it say, oh, God bless this brother. And he misses it. He misses it. Folks, some of you have got yourself in that kind of condition. You've got out there away from the good shepherd's voice. Don't do wrong. For God's sake, you've already suffered heartaches and scars and miseries, problems. Don't do that. And you young boys and girls is coming on. For God's sake, take warning. Take heed. Don't get caught in that. Don't do like the elders and die in the wilderness of the wandering of all of those things, thinking that you're going into God's Canaan when you're not going into his rest at all. You're fixing to go into misery and torture and all of those things of sicknesses and heartaches and loss of loved ones, wrecks. Whatever you do, don't get caught in that. Don't get caught in that. So then Jesus used me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. For though the task be great, I'll still work for you. A young brother told me today he's interested in a girl. He discussed it with me today. And he told me, he said, you know, if I consider marriage, he said, I want to talk to her. He said, because I want her to know that I want to work for God. And he put it in his own words, I want to work for God. And I don't want to go after the things of the world, try to have a lot in the world. Said, I want to work for God. I want to do something for God. I thought that was wonderful. But I'm sure that any Christian or any sister here at the church, should it be that, I'm sure that they would welcome that kind of thing to want to live for God.
You young girls, listen at me. Listen at me. I've told some of the others this. They're gone. They're married now. I told my wife, some of the young girls that seemed to be the most devoted that we had, even in their dressing, I said, Betty, they're not right with God, and when they get their chance, they'll leave from here, they'll get their companions, they'll pull their companions out yonder, and they'll go out in the world. They did it. They're still out there. They're still out there in the world tonight. This boy that called from prison, he named numbers of boys that was with him. That must have been 7 or 8, could have been 10 boys. As a matter of fact, standing in the congregation tonight, there are boys or some here tonight that was with the boy when he got into prison. They barely escaped. They just happened to leave. They all got to drinking, got beside themselves, and done those foolish things. And it's one I know of that's standing here tonight that said last night that he was among them. And the one that called me today said that he was among them, but said he didn't partake. That was what I understood. That he left just before they got into those things. That was prayer that done that. That was God that done that. That was the love of God that done that. That boy could be in prison tonight like the others. Beware, folks. Your daughter will go too. Your son will go too. Don't think that they won't. Don't think that they won't. Jesus, one time, when all of those men were destroyed and killed at one time, he said, don't think that these are the worst people in the world and the most wicked people. He said, this will happen to all of you if you don't repent. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be that kind of wicked person that happened to. If you don't repent, it's going to happen to you and your children. You don't want that. You don't want heartaches. This brother told me, he said, I can't believe this. He said, I can't believe it. Here I am. May get 5 or 10 years. He said, I just can't believe it's happened to me. You know, talking to him in his own words. I can't believe this, he said. And yet it happened to him. And yet I warned him. You warned him. There's a brother standing right here. He said, concerning this brother that's standing here, said he pleaded with me over and over to go to the Jeff meeting. And said, I felt I was to go. Said he pleaded with me. Said, but I wouldn't go. He's standing right here tonight. Pleaded with him. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. And remember, I love you as children of God with all purity. I love you. I want to help you. Brother Pike's not screaming and hollering at you to hurt you. But to help you, I'm screaming and hollering at you. See, so you'll stop and think and you'll remember that God loves you and that God wants to help you. But folks, you've got to give him a chance. You've got to conform to his way. Faith is by the hearing of the word. Believing something isn't going to get you to heaven. You've got to believe the word. And the writer said, if you believe, then you'll do. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you I believe what God said by honoring and obeying what God's word tells me. That's the proof of your faith. So while you're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Steve to come up. Brother Steve from out of Texas, I'm going to ask him to come up. And as he comes up to pray tonight, Steve's a young single man from out of Texas. He's been drawn to this, and he believes in it. And it's been hard on him. It's been strong. He wasn't taught this. He was in a big church with a lot of people in a charismatic way of life, and he believed it. And I believe it was the same church that not too long ago someone had a dream concerning this church. And the pastor of the church in the dream was a little boy. He was a little boy trying to lead that congregation. That's the way the people are. All right, Steve.